So you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm curious to know how many of you are CeeLo Green fans. Have you ever even heard of CeeLo Green? He's a popular artist on the scene, and a number of years ago, he did a special with Sesame Street. And the whole special was to find out what happens at Christmas time. And they're having a big party at Kermit's house, Kermit the Frog, and CeeLo knocks on the door, and they go in, and there's all these Christmas presents, and there's all this bling. Do you guys know what bling is? Fancy, you know, things that you wear, a lot of bling. And they started talking about what was important for Christmas. Is it this bling? Is it that present? And when it finally got down to it, they realized that all we need for Christmas is love. We don't need presents, we don't need bling, we don't need all this fancy stuff. All we need is love. And pretty much everybody agreed that that's all that they needed, except for Miss Piggy, because she apparently is still a material pig. But I don't think that Sesame Street was trying to make a theological point here, but it is true that all we need at Christmas is love. Today we're celebrating the second Sunday of Advent. It's our journey towards the cross. It's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And the word Advent is from the Latin advenire, which means to come. We're looking forward for the coming or the arrival of Jesus. And Advent is the opportunity for the ancient longing of the Messiah to celebrate his birth, to be alert for his second coming. And Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ's coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation to the coming of the Lord Jesus when he returns for his people. You see, during Advent, we look for both. It's an active, assured, and hopeful waiting. And each week, we focus on a different attribute of God representing the coming of Jesus. Jesus' hope, love, joy, and peace. And last week, Larry shared with us about Christmas hope, but today we're looking at Christmas love. Because today we're going to talk about a true love story. Do you all love stories? I absolutely love a good love story. We were in Chicago last week visiting my daughter and my granddaughter, and we were having a wonderful time. We had all these things planned to go outside, do all this hiking, but it rained the whole entire time. It was freezing cold for me. They thought it was balmy because it was only 32 degrees in Chicago, but we ended up staying inside drinking hot chocolate and sitting by the fire and sharing stories. And somehow the conversation got off onto Hallmark movies. Do you guys like Hallmark movies? My three daughters and my wife love Hallmark movies. They could sit and binge watch Hallmark movies till the end of time. And what we found out was that every Hallmark movie has the same storyline. Isn't that the truth? What happens? Boy meets girl. And it seems like love at first sight. Then typically, boy does something really stupid, or he has a hidden secret or something that separates boy from girl. And girl gets angry with boy for this. This is every single Hallmark movie. Boy does something stupid. Girl gets angry with boy. They get separated for a time. And then girl finds out the truth about boy. He wasn't doing anything stupid. He was just following what he had to do for whatever reason. Then boy and girl get back together again and they live happily ever after. Is that not every Hallmark movie? It is a true love story. I call it the Hallmark love story. But there's another type of love story. I'm sure you've heard about it. It's the tragic love story. It's the one that Shakespeare wrote about. In Romeo and Juliet, boy meets girl, but for whatever reason, boy cannot be with girl, and so they are separated forever. That is the tragic love story. It's the incomplete Hallmark story, if you will. And it's very, very popular in our culture today. You see movies like this all the time. Like, do you remember the movie Love Story from the 70s? Probably you don't remember, but the movie Love Story, the woman, I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it. Or there's another one. I was in Chicago last week, and my son-in-law is a Chicago Bears fan. And I said, how many times a year do you watch the story, Brian's Song? which is the story of Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers, who developed a friendship when they were both at the Chicago Bears, and it was one of the first interracial football player relationships or something like that. And my son-in-law looked at me and he goes, "I've never seen the movie Brian's Song." I'm like, "How could you not have seen that movie? You live in Chicago. You're a Chicago Bears fan." But it is kind of a sad story if you've never seen it. It's kind of love. And then love falls apart and it doesn't come back together again. Today we're going to look at Mary and Joseph's story. What kind of love story is that? Imagine with me and place yourself back in the time of the dusty days of Israel under the Roman Empire. In the small village called Nazareth lives a carpenter named Joseph. He has a noble ancestry. He's distantly related to King David himself, but he lives a humble life, working with his hands as a tradesman, and he probably learned to build things from his father, who was probably also a carpenter too. And some scholars think that Joseph grew up in Bethlehem. But at some point, he moved to Nazareth about 70 miles north as the crow flies. And maybe this was so he could start his own carpentry business. And maybe he had relatives there. And maybe just the town needed a good carpenter. So there he is. We don't know for sure, but we can speculate that Joseph had probably been working long enough to establish himself as an honorable member of that community. He was probably a very successful craftsman. And that would have made him a very eligible bachelor. And he probably was around 20 years old, and he was ready to marry and establish his own family. Now, I don't know if you know much about the courting procedures of that time, but there were three parts. There was the contract, there was the consummation, and the celebration. You see, the younger girls in the community, or more likely their fathers, would have noticed Joseph. And you have to remember that in Jewish marriage customs of the day, it's quite different from ours. What would happen is that Mary would say to her dad, "Do you see that guy? That's the guy I like. I like him." Or the father would say, "You see that guy, Joseph? He's the one I think you should marry." And so what would happen is that the father of the bride would go to the family of the groom and would offer a dowry. And in the offering of the dowry, they would kind of sign a contract that says these two are now supposed to be married. And these contracts you didn't break, because once you were betrothed to somebody, it was as if you were married. And then the courtship would start. They would start learning about each other. Mary and Joseph now know that they are going to be married, and so that they would marry. They would start courting each other, would learn about each other, would spend more time with each other, finding out about each other. They probably knew each other. And then you would have the wedding consummation, and then you would have the wedding ceremony. And I'm told that in this time, sometimes these weddings lasted up to 7 days. And there was lots of food, and there was lots of drink, and there was lots of merriment. And as I remember both of my daughters getting married, I am glad it was just a one-day wedding, because I'm not sure I could have afforded a seven-day wedding. And then after that, Mary and Joseph would get together. Now you say that's very different from today, right? Today, you know, we court before and then we have the marriage ceremony. But it really was a romantic time. It really was romance in the highest form. Even though the marriages were arranged, these people really truly did love each other. I mean, think about it. When you met your spouse, if you're married, where did you meet them? How did that happen? I met my wife at church. Both of my children that are married have met their spouses at school, where they went to school. But I've heard of people meeting spouses at the gym. I've heard of people meeting their spouses at the bar. I've heard, you know, all sorts of stories of where they meet. But wherever you meet in life, and however the relationship comes together, whether it's arranged or whether it's just a happenstance chance, when people realize that they're now going to get serious and get married, a relationship develops. And there's absolutely no question that a relationship developed. Look at some of the most famous relationships in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at Jacob and Leah. Look at David and Bathsheba, or Abraham and Sarah. And of course, the greatest romance of all, Solomon and his loved one in the Song of Songs. Now, we don't know much about Mary and Joseph, but we do know that they loved each other. And during that time together, they developed a full and wonderful, wonderful romantic relationship where they were excited to spend the rest of their life together. And then the bomb drops. In the Hallmark movie, this is part two, right? We find out that something happened to Mary. She got pregnant. Imagine the emotional bombshell that went off when Joseph heard this news. Mary, how could you? How could you do this to me? I thought you loved me. I love you. I gave my heart for you. We were doing this the right way. We were honoring God, and our families know about this. How could you do this? Mary's response, Joseph, I know this sounds crazy, but an angel visited me and told me I'm going to have a baby. And the angel said his name will be Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and he's the Messiah. Joseph, you have to believe me. It's a miracle. I know it sounds crazy that I'm pregnant. This is the bombshell of bombshells. Joseph really had only one choice. The marriage had to be canceled. The contract had to be torn up. The contract would be canceled. Joseph would find someone else. Mary would probably live without ever getting married, without ever having any children of her own. And isn't this just the kind of crisis that threatens to destroy any good love story? Now, the exact circumstances are different from what you or I will ever face, but the feelings and the emotions and the relationship challenges are no different. Mary and Joseph's is a true love story. But it's also a supernatural love story that involves you and me and every human that has ever walked or ever will walk this earth. Now let's dig deep at this point and look at how it affects you and me and how we can experience this supernatural love of God with us through this Advent. Now, if we were watching this story, if this were a Hallmark story, at this point, we would have a camera in Mary's bedroom. And Mary would be draped over a chair, probably created by Joseph himself, just weeping uncontrollably. Joseph, on the other hand, is probably in his carpenter shop, and he's probably got some piece of wood, and he's carving the wood, or he's cutting the wood, and he's in anger that this could possibly happen to him. And so we see Mary in her room, Joseph in the carpenter shop, and it fades from out of that maybe to the village. And maybe it's a drone shot, and the drone starts to rise outside of the village, and you see this little town in the Middle East, and then you see the oceans, and you see the continents, and then you see the earth itself. And as the drone gets higher and higher, we go past the moon, and then we go past the sun, we go past the stars, and it goes out all the way to see the Milky Way. And it is there that we see the presence of a God who is love, because God is love. The Apostle John said it most simply and best, God is love. He says in John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. True love, the love that God has for us. As I mentioned earlier, I have a grandchild that lives in Chicago. Last year, we were talking to my daughter. I don't know if we were FaceTiming or if we were just talking on audio on the phone. But my granddaughter was asleep. And as my granddaughter was asleep, my daughter made the comment that I'm sure every mother has made. She said, Mom and Dad, I just didn't realize how much I would love this child. And if you've been a parent, you know that love, that comes into your heart. It's a love so strong that it can't be broken. And that's the love that God has for us. It's a love so strong that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, because God is love. And God's love is enough, and his love is faithful. We know this because God is love. It's not that just God loves. It's that the whole concept of love in our lives is because God is love. We can only love because God loves. And God gives love. We go back to the story. Mary journeys to her cousin Elizabeth's house. It couldn't have been an easy journey. She's pregnant. She doesn't know what's going to happen, but she arrives at her friend, cousin Elizabeth's house, and she greets her. And what happens? Elizabeth doesn't care about all that stuff that's going on in Mary's life. This is her cousin, like a sister to her. And Elizabeth herself is pregnant with John. And she embraces Mary and she says, "You can stay with me. Whatever happens in life, you will always be my cousin. I will always love you. Joseph or John and Jesus can grow up together. Even if something is not able for you to go back and be with Joseph, you can be with me." And Mary is so overwhelmed at the friendship that she has. And Mary begins to accept this, and she sings a beautiful song to God about how she is the chosen one. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And at the sound of the greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. It was incredible relief. In the midst of this human crisis, Mary is loved by Elizabeth. Now, in Joseph's case, his needs were a bit different. Because back in Nazareth, his pain and confusion, Joseph decided that he was going to divorce Mary. And the law allowed him to divorce her quietly and try not to make a public disgrace of her. But that's when the supernatural part of the story happens. And God knew that Joseph needed supernatural love. And so he got a visit from an angel with the message, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." In each case, God knew exactly what they needed. It is a true love story, the truest of love stories, that they messed up or appeared to mess up, but God comes in at the end and allows them both to stay together. It almost reminds me of the best love story that I've ever seen that I love in my life. And if you know me, you know what love story I'm talking about. It's called The Princess Bride. Yes, The Princess Bride, where you have Wesley and Buttercup and they fall in love, and then Wesley goes and he gets himself killed, but he's not really dead, and he comes back to pick up Buttercup, but she thinks he's dead, and then he truly does die. And they take this dead form of Wesley to Mad Max, who says, "I've only got one potion that might work, and I have no idea." And he says, fills air in the lungs, and he says, "What do you got to worth living for?" And he presses on the lungs, and the words come out of Wesley's mouth, and he says, true love. And Mad Max is like, "Oh, it wasn't true love." And his wife yells at him, "Of course it was true love. Have you ever seen a love story?" And then, of course, they bring him back to life and they live happily ever after. It's a true love story. And it's our love story. You see, we are the messed up one, are we not? Are we not the one that had a beautiful relationship with God and then we messed it up? We had to do things that separated us from God, and we were going to live in this eternal love tragedy, except that God brought love to us in the manger. He brought Jesus to show us what true love is and to redeem us so that we could be with God forever. The famous writer J.R.R. Tolkien once said that the reason why these love stories so resonate with humanity, it's because it's our love story. It's our love story of a humanity that was separated from God, and it would have ended as a tragedy, but God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to redeem us so that it doesn't end in tragedy, but it ends in true love forever. Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have for you." Love one another. And the ability to do so begins as we open ourselves to God's love. And it is then that his love grows and overflows as we extend kindness and care and support to others around us. We love because he first loved us. And we will live with him forever Because there's nothing, there's no power on earth, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or any created thing will ever be able to separate us from God's love. It's not a tragedy. It is the true love story because of Jesus. Would you please rise and join me in prayer? Dear God, you are love. You love us with an everlasting love that death itself cannot overcome. Thank you for creating us and loving us. In this season of Advent, when we await for the birth of perfect love, grant us love in our homes, our neighborhoods, and our world. May it be a love filled with forgiveness, acceptance, and joy. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is true love. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a good week.